Hello everyone, welcome to this PNP webcast. Today we're going to talk about how to get started with the PNP NuGet package. My name is Bert Janssen. I'm a service engineer in the Microsoft SharePoint and OneDrive service organization. With me, I have my lovely assistant, Vesa.
Thank you, Bert. Thank you, Bert. So my name is Vesa Juvonen. I'm a senior program manager in the Office 365 engineering. So we're pretty much working in the same organization, both in the product group, anyway.
Absolutely. Well,
not precisely in the same team, but still.
Yep. All right. So in this webcast, we're going to first of all quickly introduce NuGet. What is it? Why would you use it? We're going to give you a view on how does NuGet relate to the default SharePoint add-in experience. So when you install a SharePoint add-in from Visual Studio, what NuGet packages are pulled in and what you get from those packages. And then we will move on to the actual PNP package. What does the PNP package get you and why should you use it? And we'll conclude this with a short demo of the PNP NuGet package.
Sounds good.
All right, moving on to the first slides. So the why and the what. For the people which are already a long time in software development, they are familiar with the DLL hell term, the fact that you always had to keep up to date with the references, the components, the SDKs, all the assemblies that you used outside of your project. It was kind of a mess to keep them up to date and keep them and pull them in into your project. And this is where NuGet really plays a big role. It is like a big central repository of all the possible SDKs, components, libraries. And this is not just about DLLs. It can also be, for example, JavaScript files like jQuery that you can pull in via NuGet. But it's like a component, a gallery of packages which contain versions of a particular SDK component that you can easily consume in your project, either via a command line tool, nuget.exe, or typically most people will use it with the built-in Visual Studio Package Manager that can directly get data from NuGet and install the packages in your environment.
That's a really when I think about the NuGet, referring to the DLL hell, some of us has been doing development for years and years, and in old time you needed to install actual MSIs or setup stuff whenever there was a new version. Then you needed to go to Microsoft download or whatever download and install a new version of the assembly so you were able to get the latest version. If you were not doing that, you were lacking some APIs. So NuGet is absolutely a great tool for delivering all of these assemblies directly in the Visual Studio experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
At the same time, to be fair, Bert, we're seeing this NuGet hell as well, because
there is sometimes a little bit of a NuGet hell due to dependencies and using different packages, package versions in different projects in the same solution. That's true. But there is a thing that you can also manage NuGet packages that's at the solution level and try to keep them in sync, but I agree with you, it can be like a NuGet hell as well.
True. Now, but it's anyway better than DLL hell.
Absolutely, absolutely. Another advantage, what I see with NuGet is that when you pull on those packages and you have your solution, and you want to later on copy your work, give it to someone else, or put it on GitHub or any other system, you don't have to include all the assemblies. Visual Studio is intelligent enough to see like, oh, you have referred to this particular package. The first time you compile your solution, it will pull down all the packages from that it requires to compile the code. So instead of deploying like 50 megabyte zip files with all the binaries in there, you now have like a 1 megabyte zip file with your solution, which is lightweight and easy to maintain.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point, because that then reduces the amount of space needed in storage and all of that stuff. So great point, actually.
Yep, absolutely. All right, so SharePoint, Visual Studio does support SharePoint add-ins. And so what happens when you install a SharePoint add-in? So in more particular, when you install a SharePoint provider hosted add-in, Visual Studio will already pull down NuGet packages, because in the template that the SharePoint team has defined for the SharePoint provider hosted add-in, it said like you need to pull down certain packages. Now, when you create a SharePoint provider hosted add-in for SharePoint Online, so that's being asked, if I zoom in slightly, so when you create a SharePoint file, host that in, we will ask you, like, do you want to create it for SharePoint 2013 or SharePoint Online? If you pick Online, you will see that two packages are being added. There's the F4 SharePoint Online Web Toolkit, so the one on the top, which will bring you three classes. So it will bring you Token Helper, SharePoint Context, for all types of SharePoint provider hosted add-ins. If you chose to create a MVC SharePoint add-in, it will also bring the SharePoint Context Filter attribute, which is used to deal with the authentication of the on the home controllers. Next to that that package, that F4 SharePoint Online Web Toolkit package, we're also pulling in the CSOM assemblies. And in the online version, that is done via a package called Microsoft SharePoint Online.csom. So this is a relatively new package. I think we announced it, Vesa, in April.
April 2005, yeah. Yeah, for 2015.
But it's fairly new. It kind of replaces the old SDK that you installed locally. This is the preferred way. If you can use it, I recommend using this one to pull in the assemblies. And combined, you get all the assemblies and the files you need to do to write your SharePoint provider hosted add-in. Now, you can also create SharePoint provider hosted add-ins for on-premises, for SharePoint 2013 and SharePoint 2016. In this case, things are slightly different. There still is that the app for SharePoint toolkit, but now you notice this is an app for SharePoint web toolkit. It's not an app for SharePoint online web toolkit. So there's a difference in name, so two different packages. In this case, the package itself is not just bringing along those token helper and SharePoint context files, which, by the way, are available in C# as in VB. You can choose. The package will determine the language you've selected and put in the right one. But it will also have a reference dependency on locally installed assemblies. So it will put a project dependency on the CSOM client and client runtime assemblies. These have to be installed locally on your system. It will fetch them from the locally installed SDK and connect them to your project. So
there's absolutely a clear difference. And to be fair, full transparency, I wasn't aware that we have a different NuGet for on-premises for the app for SharePoint Web Toolkit. So it's actually good that we're covering this in this webcast as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it used to be one. And now, but over time, we split things into different packages. That's true. So that explains a bit of the confusion about this one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, these two past slides gave you a view on what you would get when you create a default SharePoint add-in using Visual Studio, which packages are pulled down and what those packages will deliver. Now, in the next section of this webcast, we're going to talk about the PNP core component. What is it? Why do you want to use it? And then how does our PNP core component NuGet package work? And what kind of dependencies does the PNP core NuGet package have on these standard NuGet packages that already are used by default in SharePoint add-ins, SharePoint provider hosted add-ins? So first of all, before we dive into the PNP NuGet package, a quick introduction on the PNP core component, why would you use the PNP core component? What is it? Essentially, it's a library, a utility that will, first of all, make your development life much easier. It contains a ton of extension methods that will ease particular operations that you would otherwise do via several CSOM calls. For example, we have extension methods to add a web part to a wiki page. That's a one-line extension method for you as a developer using the core component. But if you wouldn't use the core component, it is around 100 lines of code to do the actual work. So it really makes...
It's a classic example.
Yeah. It's a classic
it's
example.
It's a great example.
Or another one is grabbing the site administrators. Like it's something that you often do. It's a one line. You get a collection of administrators and off you go. So I stopped counting, but I think we have 300 to 400 extension methods. It's a huge amount of extension methods that you can use as a developer to make your life easier.
And this really came from the real life projects. So we were working with a lot of the customers, working towards transformation to the adding model. And then we realized that we're all the time copy pasting the same code across all of the projects and across all of the customers. And it really is pretty much insane. So why not actually encapsulate that as an own SDK, which will increase the developer's productivity, and use that one, and then be strict about how do we version the BMP core as well. So obviously the BMP core is actually managed in a way that it's fully backward compatible. So we don't actually break you with the newer versions as well.
Next to those extension methods, we also have we call it frameworks. We have two frameworks. One is the provisioning framework, one is the time-user framework. So the provisioning framework is really a super enhanced, cool engine that you can use to grab the definition of an existing site and then reapply the same definition to a new site. So it really allows you to model a site and automatically provision a site with that new model. So it's super powerful. There are several webcasts out on Channel 9 that you can have a look at to explain more about the provisioning framework. The time-user framework is a kind of a base class framework to start writing background jobs. So in SharePoint on-prem, you would have the regular timer jobs, SharePoint timer jobs. Now in the online world, when we're working against SharePoint Online, you need similar capabilities, but there is no timer job framework. And this is kind of plugging that hole is an easy way to start building those background jobs.
And a key point on the terminology, obviously, it's a remote timer job framework. So it's not a server-side timer job framework. It's a remote season-based implementation, just to be clear on that.
Yeah, correct. Everything in the PNP core component is using remote APIs, so system APIs, and it's meant to be used remote outside of a server.
Yeah.
And the final component that we listed here is authentication. So we have an authentication manager class that easily makes it very easy for you to get a client context, whether that's just an app-only context or a regular user context or
ADFS.
Via ADFS or using Office 365 authentication layer. All of these options are there. I think we have about 10 options to grab client context using different input, which is highly needed in each and every project.
Which is, by the way, one that could be a really great webcast topic to cover. So
absolutely.
How does it actually work?
Yeah, it's very powerful.
Let's put it in the to-do list. Yeah.
Good idea. Okay, so I hope this gave you an introduction on what is the PNP core component and why do you want to use it. Now we move on to the NuGet PNP package. So since this core component is so valuable and gives you a lot of additional developer power, we also wanted to make it very easy for you as a developer to use the core component. And for that reason, we've built a PNP NuGet package. We have actually built two packages, one for online to work against SharePoint Online and one for on-premises, which is today targeting SharePoint 2013, which will also have to be updated to work with SharePoint 2016. Now, what you see
It might be in a third version of the NuGet, but we'll see how it goes.
A third version, correct. Yeah, that's still to be decided and to be finalized. What you see here in this screenshot is what we call the NuGet Package Explorer. It's visible on the top over here. You see NuGet Package Explorer. And in the demo, I will show you how to get there. But essentially, this is a tool that you get from NuGet, which you can open up any NuGet package. So if you're interested in seeing what is inside a package, you can always use this tool to have a peek and see what's there. Now, in this case, I used this tool to show you what we have in our PNP online NuGet package. So first of all, we have the DLL. So there is the office dev pnp.core DLL, which is the one containing all the extension methods and all the frameworks. And we have a dependency. So we have a package dependency on a number of packages, but in this case, more specifically on the Microsoft SharePoint Online.csom package, which means that if you install the PNP NuGet package in your project and the SharePoint Online CSOM package is not yet there, it will be automatically installed as well. So the NuGet package manager does see those dependencies and will pull down both packages for you, which is good because at that point you have the assemblies and you have the core component and you can start writing code. If you move to the on-premises PNP package, you see it's similar, but not exactly the same. And that's due to the differences in SharePoint on-prem versus SharePoint Online with regard to distribution of CSOM assemblies. So for the on-prem package, we obviously also have the Office Dev PNP.core DLL, but next to that, we also have Microsoft.online.sharepoint.client.dll. Client.tenant.dll, I must correct this slide, but you see it on the screenshot is correct, which is the tenant assembly, which is not part of the regular SharePoint 2013 SDK, but you need it to for certain site collection, creation, deletion type of functionality. And that's why we decided to distribute that DLL as part of the NuGet package. We will ensure that when you get this package, that we also have to always have the latest version of that particular DLL in our package. Our on-prem package also has a reference to App for SharePoint Web Toolkit. So remember, that's the guide that pulls in token helper, SharePoint context, and SharePoint context filter attribute. Today, we do not have that reference for the online package, and we are debating whether we're going to either remove it here or also add it in the online package. But we will definitely get those two packages aligned. And finally, you see in the framework assembly reference system, let me slightly zoom in here. You see that we have a reference to the SharePoint client assemblies. So it again means if you have a reference, it means that they have to be available on the system. Visual Studio has to be able to find them if it installs the package. Whereas having a dependency on a package means it will pull down the files of the package when needed.
Yeah. And this is really, well, it could be the SDK, which is downloadable from the Microsoft download site, or it could be the CSOM from ACU. So whenever the on-premises CSOM versioning is slightly complicated, let's put it this way. As part of all of the cumulative updates, we are actually releasing a matching CSOM package. And those would be absolutely working with the on-premises or the core component as well. But it's slightly more complicated, and the core component has a dependency always on a predefined version of an on-premises CSOM coming from CU, which is slightly unfortunate because then we cannot support. I think right now the dependency is on April CU 2015 or something like that.
Yeah.
If you're running an older version of an on-premises SharePoint 2013. The core component might actually cause issues, or it doesn't compile because it has a dependency on certain assemblies.
That's correct. So things fall off over time. Yeah. New APIs are added in the client side, are added in SharePoint. If you have newer client side assemblies compared to your server version, you get into trouble. You can get failures.
Which is slightly unfortunate, but. It is what it is, and we're trying to manage that in the best possible way.
Right, and actually we are improving that situation. We recently introduced, it's not yet out in the master branch, but we introduced some version checks for new properties. So I think we'll experiment a bit more with that approach, but hopefully in the future we can get to a PNP core package where we just filter out the operations which are not valid for the server version that we're working against.
Yep, absolutely.
Now, let's summarize what we've learned in the last slides. So this summary slide gives you a view of what you get when you install a PNP NuGet package, both for online at the left side or on premises at the right side. So for online, we will give you obviously our PNP core DLL, and we will give you all the client assemblies that we have in SharePoint.
I can see that you essentially were pretty lazy with that one. You just copy pasted it.
Yeah, I tried putting it in a table and said, "Oh damn, I missed some rows. I need to change the fonts." That's so crap.
Yeah, that's fine.
Take the easy way out.
Yeah, relevant information is on the slide.
It's there. Now in the on-prem, it's different. So we only have by default the two DLLs, the client DLL and the client runtime DLL, which is the bare minimum to start using the CSOM SDK. And we have those SharePoint context token helper and filter attribute files, even a VB VSI, if you want to do VB, is all yours.
It's actually kind of funny. I used to build a lot of stuff using VP5 back in the days of 2001 or 2000, whatever, 2000. But I absolutely forgot about the whole VB.net. I probably cannot actually switch the language anymore.
Yeah, same here. But I guess still some people are using VB, but let's not start discussing about that right now.
Absolutely.
Stay focused.
No,
stay focused.
Never mind.
But this is what you get. And if we kind of sync the app for web tool, SharePoint toolkit package, sorry, then you will have either those files at both sides or not at all. So that's a pending task that we will work on. Now, enough slides. Let's see it in practice. So let me jump to Visual Studio, and I'm going to create.
You're one of the cool kids as well. You're using a dark background.
Yeah, so. Actually, I changed that a few days ago just to experiment, but I like it. I like it. But yeah. Okay, project. Now, I'm not going to create a SharePoint provider hosted add-in because that already pulled down a lot of stuff for you, but which you've seen in the slides. So in this case, let's say we're going to create a simple console application. Let's call it PNP NuGet demo. Hit OK.
Which could be then a Azure web job, or it could be whatever connected to the 365.
Yeah. So we get our plain vanilla console application. Now I'm going to sheet a little bit. I'm going to copy some stuff from here. I'm going to paste it. I'm going to overwrite this guy. So what I did now is I already added some plumbing code to define a site URL, to define a user, grab a password, and that's it. So we're ready to do something with the application. Now, we do not yet have any references to anything which has the name SharePoint or PNP in it, as you can see over here, like default stuff. So let's add a PNP package. So I'm going to right-click the project. I'm going to go to Manage NuGet Packages. Click on it. And you'll see that in Visual Studio 2015, the NuGet Package Manager has been slightly updated. So each time we have a new Visual Studio version, we have like an updated package manager.
Which is, by the way, good practice to keep up to date on updating as well. Every now and then there's some changes on the NuGet package manager. So
yep. So it shows you three tabs, three options: browse, installed, updates. So installed list installed NuGet packages in the packages installed in your project. With browse, you can actually check into that NuGet gallery and find packages. Once you have installed the package and the package manager detects that there is a newer version of that particular package, it will list you the number of updates that you can install over here. So let's go to browse. And to find the PNP package, the easiest is just typing PNP, hit enter. And it will search for all packages with the name PNP in the NuGet gallery. Let me slightly zoom in. And you will see that we have two PNP core packages, PNP Core 15 and PNP Core 16. 15 is for on-premises development, 16 is for online. So that's something that you have to be aware of.
Since now that I'm seeing the description, when it updated the description, you're saying SharePoint app model when it should be an adding model.
Yeah, it's,
let's
it's,
update that for the future releases. So.
Also, and it should also mention online versus on-premises.
Absolutely,
it's not,
yes.
It's not showing up anymore. I think it used to be like that, but yeah, it's a little thing to tweak. Now, in this case, since I want to test against my online tenant, I'm going to pick this one. It will show you the version that's available. And you can then hit install. So I'm going to hit install. It typically can take a while before all packages, before everything is done. So when you hit install on a package, be patient. Have a look at the output window below where you see activity going on. It's not something that's done in a few seconds. This case is going to ask me like, okay, you install this package, and that this package has dependencies on other packages. Do you accept the license agreement from those package vendors? So I'm going to say I accept. So now it is pulling down all the packages, and pay attention to the references over here. You see that they will change, because each package brings along DLLs. These DLLs are deployed to the file system, and then they're added as a reference to your project. And this old project finished, we have the green check mark over here. We see finished at the bottom. And now we see all our packages nicely listing over here. That's what we need. We also see some updates. See updates as a number of 3 behind. When we check on it, and I need to clear the filter, check again. It will tell you that, okay, your PNP package that you installed had references to particular other packages like the ASP.NET Web API Client and Web API Core, but there's already a newer version of that package. So you installed 5.2.2, but 5.2.3 is available as well. So you can update if you want. And that's referring to your NuGet hell. If you have different projects with different versions of packages, things get slightly out of control.
Complicated, yes.
So always try to keep those packages in sync across all your projects in your solution, and then you're good. And Visual Studio will help you in a package manager. If you do that, it will tell you to combine those things at solution level. All right, so let's go back to our code. We still have that empty program. I'm going to add some bit of logic in there. So I'm going to paste something over here. So SharePoint Online Credentials class does resolve now because we have the client assemblies. And I already had that using Microsoft SharePoint Client on top. And this is regular, simple CSOM. We're not using PNP yet, right? And we do want to use some of PNP. So what we can do here is a very simple thing, which I would recommend everyone that uses a PNP core library, is that if you use an execute query, you should use an execute query retry. And let's slightly zoom in. So execute query retry is a PNP extension method. So remember that we talked about a collection of operations to make it easier for a developer. This is one of those. The execute query retry will automatically give you a retry mechanism for your execute query statements. Because server-side, we can have throttling, and if your request is throttled, your code should kind of back off and wait and then try again. As a developer, you don't want to write that each time again. So here we have like the easy method for you, coming from PNP, very simple to use.
And now, Bert, can you explain for the people who are watching this, because not necessarily everybody knows, how did that method came to be available? So how suddenly the client context has additional methods?
That's because, let's show the tooltip again. It is an extension method. So extension methods are methods, static methods that you can write in a static class, which kind of connect to an existing object. So you can write an extension method that gives you something, a particular method functionality for an object. So we've written an extension method on the client runtime context object over here, and that method actually is part of the PnP Core library. So because we installed the PnP Core library into our project, all those extension methods become available. So depending on the object that you have different extension methods. So client runtime context has this guy, but an easier sample might be the next one, which is, let me grab a piece of code over here. Let's put some. So we have a web object, regular web object, and we have get administrators. This is also an example of an extension method. It will give you user entities. So with one line of code, you can grab all the admins of your site collection and show them. But these are just two samples of extension methods in the PnP Core library. As mentioned before, there are like hundreds of those methods on all kinds of objects on web, on list, on the client context, you name it, we have it on folder, for example.
Both of them are actually great examples of really increasing the productivity of the developer. Because immediately when you have a reference to the core component, voila, you have all of these additional methods available, which will simplify the development, no doubt.
Yes. All right. Do we need to run this guy? Well, let's quickly run it just to prove that it is working. So it's compiling. And here we have our console application.
Magnificent UI,
Great UI.
brilliant design.
I need to enter a password. Go. And it will be a very spectacular output. Ooh. Oh my God. We have even two administrators. Yeah, but you see, that's not the point of the application, but it's PnP Core library is very powerful, and with the NuGet package, it's just plugging in the package and off you go. It's that's as that simple. So everyone can do it. It's so simple. To conclude the demo, I quickly want to show you the PnP, sorry, the NuGet gallery. So I'm going to open up Edge. I'm going to go to nuget.org. So this is the NuGet gallery, and here you can search also for packages. So if I type in PnP, I should find similar output than I saw before, and I do. So we have the PnP Core and the on-premises version. Here it does, by the way, show nicely the description between the different descriptions. Now, in the slides, I showed you the package manager, which you can see if you click on this guy over here. You would expect a package manager here at the in this zone, but it's not there, and that's due to Edge. So if you want to use the package manager, you open up in IE. And of course, that opens up on the wrong screen. Here we are again. So now we are in an IE, and we see the Package Explorer. So when I hit on this guy, it will download the Package Explorer application and will pull down the package in there for you, which allows you to browse the package, see what's in there, see how it's configured, to have a look at its metadata, edit metadata. You can not change it. Well, you can change it for your own use, but you cannot really publish it back to the server. But this is an easy way to inspect packages and learn more about the package that you're pulling down. With that, I think we can conclude the demo and move on to our resources section. So resources section is kind of a list of pointers to NuGet packages. So the default SharePoint packages, so the Apple SharePoint Web Toolkit for the online and 2013 version, our new SharePoint Online CSOM package, which we actually recently updated, Vesa. You can maybe tell a bit more about the latest version of that one.
Well, and we kind of do an update on that one more frequently in the future, adding new capabilities and new APIs. And obviously, what's the latest and newest depends on when are you watching the video. So let's not actually even talk about the new APIs from that perspective.
And finally, this is the PNP packages that we are listing over here. Okay, we came to the end of this webcast. I hope you enjoyed it and you learned a bit more about NuGet in general and more specifically about our PNP NuGet package. I hope we've shown you how easy it is to start using the PNP core component using our NuGet package. It's just a few clicks and off you go, and you have that wealth of extension methods, that provisioning framework, the time measure framework, authentication, abstraction layer, all of that is available for you with just those few clicks. So,
and if there's any questions or any comments around this presentation, again, please use the PNP Yammer at aka.ms/officedevpnpyammer. We are following up on the questions and discussions over there as well.
Yep,
but again,
correct.
Other than that, great presentation. Thank you, Bert, for leading the webcast this time. And I think this will be highly beneficial for a lot of the people learning into how the things work and more specifically what the NuGet packages are also containing. So really good.
And thank you for being my lovely assistant for this webcast.
Thank you, Bert.
Next time, you will turn around the roles.
I've enjoyed. I did enjoy doing that job. So.
All right. Okay. Thanks, guys.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.